Welcome, welcome. Those of you who are here, I'm grateful and thankful for your presence. And those of you who are joining us online, we say welcome to you as well. This is a glorious day. This is still the day that the Lord has made. And I don't know about you, but we started off, what, rejoicing and being glad in it. Yes, indeedy. So thank you once again for that. This is an exciting time and season. You know, it's a lot going on during these holiday seasons, these holy days. And we have a lot to be grateful for, a lot to be thankful for. And we have to remember that, especially when things appear to be just the opposite. But thank God we don't judge by appearances, do we? No. We judge by righteous judgment, by understanding and seeing correctly and understanding how the Spirit of the Lord moves, not in mysterious ways, but in clear and wonderful ways. I want to begin by offering some gratitude and thanksgiving. First of all, for those of you who have, my heart is filled when we're able to get back to what we used to do and do with, you know, for our love, we have adoptive families and people are bringing in their gifts because we have adopted families. And I love when I see bicycles. Somebody's going to be happy on Christmas morning. Looks like a little boy and a little girl will probably receive those wonderful gifts. But that's beautiful to see because to me, it brightens my heart to know that no matter what is going on, we still can give, we still can open the heart, we still can express, we still can connect. So I thank you for those of you who are participating in that. As well as I know we have our upcoming holiday cheer for seniors. I saw Russ and we're still doing that, aren't we not, Russ? Yeah, that means we will feed and take a meal and a gift to seniors who may be living alone, not having family, anyone to share the holidays with. And so we make sure that they know that they too are celebrated and they belong and they are a part of God's great family. So I thank those of you who are contributing to our holiday cheer for seniors. So, you know, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. These have been some really high intensity days for me, as a whole, and a whole lot of love has been expressed. I had a wonderful family reunion that was heartwarming and fun and got to meet, you know, some relatives I knew of but hadn't really met. And so we had great time. We played Jenga. Well, I watched. They played Jenga and, you know, it was a wonderful opportunity. My immediate family came down for Thanksgiving and stayed until December 8th so we could have the family reunion, but they also came for Friends and Family Sunday, which was wonderful. I want to thank you. It was wonderful. The church was full. So my prayer and my vision that I will continue to hold is that we will see this place filled once again with wonderful souls. And the reason I, you know, people say, well, people are watching online, and I'm grateful for those of you who are indeed watching online. I'm thankful for that. But I know that there is something powerful when we gather together, when we allow ourselves to not only, you know, feel the presence over the ethers and the internet, but that when we can look into another soul's eyes and we can connect. Because usually when you're doing the internet, it's a one, we're exchanging. But here you have an opportunity to feel the presence of one another, to be blessed by each other. And energy magnifies. It grows and magnifies. So we are creating a field here so that anybody who walks in these doors can feel the vibration of God's presence, God's light, God's love. And we don't know what people are going through. And somebody might need to walk into a place where they can just exhale and feel loved and just release for a moment. So I thank you for being willing to make that extra effort to come and be present in the midst, to be counted in the midst of us. And so it's wonderful. But we had food and fellowship and favor. Food, fellowship, and favor. Blessings. And then yesterday, beloved ones, we got to celebrate our dear brother and friend, Richard Payne. We celebrated with a fabulous musical and memorial tribute to him. And what better way to memorialize him than to have like a concert. And all the singers who had come and worked with him came back. Henry Brown, Renee, Tia. We had wonderful people. Our choir outdid themselves, you know. They came in their concert ready attire. They were clean and, you know, just like Richard would have wanted and liked, right? He wouldn't have had it any other way. And there was just a lot of love expressed. Yes, there was some sadness, but there was love expressed, and it was a beautiful thing. So I want to express not only my love but my gratitude this morning to everyone who came out to honor Richard. I want to express my gratitude to Chef, who cooked up. We thought we were going to have, like, you know, a lot of food, but he cooked a wonderful meal for us, and he offered his time and his talent because it was for Richard. So I'm grateful to Chef LeJean Williams, and of course to the hospitality team. You know what? We got to give our hospitality team some love. And they have been working overtime because they had not only, you know, this great meal that they helped to prepare, but we also had friends and family Sunday, and they cooked for that. And so they work so hard. They go out, they purchase the food, they set it up, they cook it, they do a lot so that we could really benefit from that fellowship together. So I want to really acknowledge them and give thanks for them. I want to acknowledge and give thanks and my gratitude to the choir. To the choir itself that outdid themselves. And they came, and people who had moved away came back and joined the choir as well. And so they sang with excellence, really with a heartfelt appreciation for Richard. And so I'm grateful for them. I want to thank Tracy and her wonderful AV team. You know, that AV team is a dedicated team because they're not seen. And I told Chef, too, that one day I want to bring him up because he's always down in the kitchen. The team, they're down in the kitchen. They have a TV, and they have an opportunity to hear the message, but again, they're working. The same thing with our AV team. They're dedicated. They're here every Sunday. They're making sure that we can broadcast and we can hear, but they're not necessarily participating in the service. So I want to thank our AV team as well for the work that they do. And I have to acknowledge our ushers, you know, who there are certain ushers who come out and help us out and, you know, do the work of greeting, especially when you have an opportunity to greet new people and people may not know where things are. But our usher team was present. And I want to thank also my beloved, wonderful Reverend Cheryl McCullough, because I can always count on her. As you can imagine, we were planning Friends and Family Sunday, but we were also trying to plan for Richard's service. We had to put his program together. Somebody had to go and get all the pictures. There was a lot to gather. So I want to thank Reverend Cheryl for always being dedicated and committed and dedicated to excellence, because you can't come half-stepping with Reverend Cheryl. I'm just going to tell you that. So, you know, but excellence in getting the programs done and picking them up, I'm grateful and thankful. I want to thank, of course, the wonderful Richard Payne Trio, Rudy Roderick, because they, too, show up every single Sunday that the Lord sends. And that's a commitment. They take the month of August off, but it's very rare that they have not been here outside of their scheduled time off. And that's a testament. Of course, Richard was like that. He was going to show up. But I thank you, gentlemen, for showing up all these years. You know, and for your dedication to keeping your brother's legacy going. You know, I don't know when you've changed the name, but I'm going to still call you the Richard Payne Trio for a minute, because that's what my heart says, you know, I need to do for right now. But I'm grateful and thankful that you are carrying on his legacy and keeping it alive. I also want to thank, of course, Betty Brantley. Because she stepped in, Not only was she here for the choir to keep them going and inspire them, but she actually took personal care for Richard, took him to his hospital visits, made sure he had food to eat, made sure he took his medication, was with him every step of the way. And that, my dear ones, is something to be commended. So I love Betty. I thank her for that. And I just know that, you know, this is a wonderful community. And I felt that I needed to share my love and my gratitude because my soul needed to do that so that I could garner the strength to keep on keeping on. There's a lot going on in my life, a lot going on in the world, a lot going on in the church, trying to keep us, you know, a strong, viable center of love and we're a way station where people can come to make sure that we are always, our doors are always open for any living soul that is seeking the light, seeking a place of safety, of comfort, of truth, of teaching, of knowledge, to keep all of that. And so sometimes the gratitude fills my heart and it helps me to keep going because I can't do any of this without all of you. We can't do any of it without all the different teams operating and the people coming. It's lovely to be able to sit in the pews all of the time. But things like, you know, decorating the church. I see Gwen and Scott and, you know, their committee that somebody had, they took the time to come out and work on a Saturday, put the trees up, get it all going so that we could enjoy it. Yes, you know. And I know the benefit of being able to sit down in the pews and receive. But sometimes the law says we must what? You must give. You must express. Because if you're just receiving, you're going to get what we call metaphysical indigestion. You'll be backed up. Thinking it's a lot of good stuff, but you know, because when you eat a lot of that good food, and you can keep taking it in and taking it in, but after a while, you need to let it go. It has to be expressed. So, you know, we do such wonderful work in this ministry, but it takes all of us, friends. And I always say, many hands make light work. You know, so we were even thinking about, the hospitality team is going to be off for the rest of them. They've worked very hard, so they will be off until the first of the year. We are grateful and thankful for them. And maybe some of them will come up and be able to sit in church or whatever. Maybe they'll do whatever they need to do. But we're actually, Reverend Cheryl and I, contemplating thinking about whether or not we're going to do the watch night, our December 31st New Year's Eve service, because we can't get anybody to sign up to be an usher. And as you know, those of you who have ever attended that service, you know that it takes a lot because there's movement. We have to move everybody out to go out to burn their letter and the burning bowl and then come back into the, because we tried burning it in the building. That's not a good idea. So we've learned it has to be burnt out on the veranda, but that means everybody has to be moved out. And so if there's no ushers to help guide that process, then it's going to be chaos. All of you, everybody's going to try to rush and come in and out. Can't have that. So we have a sign-up sheet, and we've made the determination. If nobody signs up to usher, we will not have the service. We'll do it on Sunday, and that's okay. But I, you know, I just feel New Year's Eve is New Year's Eve, and it happens at midnight on the 31st. And I would like to be in church on that day. But if no one wants to come and serve on that day, that's okay. It means we will do it on the 29th in church, you know, and have that process go forward. But I just want to say that this is such a fabulous community that I love who we are, what we do, how we show up. It really makes things not only easy, but it helps me to feel that I'm on purpose and I'm on point and that we're doing a good and righteous thing. We're putting forth light into the world and we're supporting each other. And we're a community of, we're the beloved community, a community of love. Because friends, I'm going to tell you something. We're going to need each other. Yeah. In the days ahead, yeah. We're going to need each other. We're going to have to be here to serve one another, even if it's no more just to say, hey, how you doing, or being a friendly face, or to lift. Who knows what's coming? I just know Spirit keeps telling me we're going to have to be a community that puts our not only our faith in action, but our love in action. We're going to have to serve each other, lift each other up, encourage each other, bless each other, listen to each other. Because these are the times that are calling for that. And so I want us to learn how to really come on out and be this beloved community and to serve in this consciousness. Gratitude is a healing force. And I felt compelled to just say how thankful I am to be able to, first of all, to be here and to be able to stand here and to share with you from my heart and to be in this community. I'm grateful because gratitude is a healing force. But it abides, gratitude abides and resides in the heart. Gratitude comes from the heart, its abiding place. Gratitude goes hand in hand with love. I have a good friend who wrote a wonderful song I love. She calls it Love and Gratitude. Those two things walk hand in hand and they work hand in hand and they bring out the best in each other. And so as we approach this third week of Advent, I was going to do it on joy because everybody's different. But since the Daily Word said they're focusing on love, I switched to love. But we're approaching this third week of Advent and we're getting closer and closer to experience the excitement and about the arrival of the birth of the Christ child. And as we would say in New Thought and in Unity, that birth of Christ consciousness within us. We are all here because we're trying to unfold a higher consciousness. What are we saying? Seek a what? A higher consciousness. And we call that high consciousness Christ consciousness. We're trying to birth and give rise to this presence of that Christ ideal and the principles that Christ represents, that spiritual quality of being that comes from God, that indwells each of us. We're trying to unfold that. This is what Jesus was able to achieve as he came into Christhood. When I was in ministerial school, one of my Bible teacher asked all of us, what did we think that was the message that Jesus as the Christ came to teach us? Now, there are many and varied answers. And most of us and most people, the most popular answer is that Christ came, Jesus as the Christ came to teach us about what? About love. Now, my Bible teacher felt there were other things that he came necessarily, but for the most part, people said that he came to teach us about love. Others says, no, he came to demonstrate and teach us about the power of life over death with the resurrection. And still others said, no, he came to teach us about and how to produce miracles. To feed 5,000, to produce, to help the lame to walk. And so he came to teach not only about miracles, about the qualities of healing and how to heal oneself. And others said, no, that's true, but he came to bring us a code, the spiritual code for righteous behavior with the Beatitudes. Blessed of you if you do this, if you do this, if you do this. So he came to show that there's a blueprint, a code for spiritual behavior that we could all learn and live by. And then others said, no. He came to show us our connection to God as source, to God as Father. Because in the Old Testament, God was not referred to God as Father. Right? Jesus brought that sense of God, we are children of the Beloved, children of the Most High. And so he came to show us our connection to Source. Now, all of those are true. But since this is the Advent and we are in the Advent season and the third week, I'm going to go with today the prevailing notion of love. Of love as being the third theme, although all those other themes are also as well, but we know that the themes for Advent are hope, peace, love, and joy. There's a song, and I think it's in our hymnal, says, "Love came down at Christmas." It's a song. Love came down at Christmas, meaning that love, this quality, this essence of love, was somehow released into the world at the birth of the Christ child. And we certainly feel more open and more willing to share and to express and to give, you know, our gifts, our talents, our time. We do feel a little bit more open, I think, during the holiday season. We're a little happier. We're a little bit more forgiving. We're a little bit more open, right? And so this is a wonderful thing. But love, really, friends, and its expression is more than a quick commercial tug on our heartstrings. It's more than a beautiful Coke commercial on TV. You know, there's something deeper than that. It is the power and presence of God residing as a spiritual energy within the fabric of our being. We've got to hear that. Love is not just some sentimental feeling. It is the presence and the power of God residing as a spiritual energy within the fabric, every core and fabric of our own being. It is an activating force of the divine. It's an activating force to actually manifest and accomplish great things. It's the very nature of pure goodness or godness, because we say goodness and godness are the same. It's that very nature of pure goodness and pure godness expressing as us at our highest level of potential, at our highest optimal level of self. It is the best and the highest version of who we have been created to be. It is what I call the healing and the holing, not holy, but the holing presence of life on earth. Meaning holding, bringing everything together so that life is whole and complete and full. Right? This is the fullness of God on earth. And it is moving in us. It is that very presence of life on earth as God. The godness, the goodness that is in manifest form. Love, when it is expressed through us, is God or the goodness in manifest form. So when I'm looking at you and you're looking at me and we're looking through the eyes of the divine, through the eyes of love, we are seeing and witnessing the goodness and godness. Right? In manifest form, in manifest expression. Love in action. No more can we sit around and, you know, we've been coming here for a long time. You've been listening to me for a long, long time, and I've been running my mouth for a long, long time. Over 30-something years, I've been putting out the message. But now it's time for us to be the message, to live the message. Right? This is our moment. And so we're here to be love in expression, love in action, love as the spirit of the living God in manifest form. Because after all, the Bible says that God is what? Is love. God is love. I said, let's listen to what it says in the message, and sometimes did I not mark this? Let me see. Sometimes I'll read other iterations, but I wanted to just start with the message because I just love the way it says it. Now I need to go and find it because I was so excited about it that I didn't mark it. Let me see. I'm reading from John 4, verse 7 through 10. Yeah. Oh, I love it when God makes hide and seek. So actually, it is actually 1 John. Let me go. No wonder. I'm like, wait a minute. This is not it. So we have it in First John. You know, there's the book of John, and then there's First John, and then there's what? Second John. So you got to get your Johns correct. So this is in 1 John, verse 3. So let me look at 1 John 3 and see if I could find what I'm looking. Verse 4. Okay. You ready?
Yes.
You had time to get ready. It said, better off without him. And it says, my beloved friends, let us continue to love each other. Since love comes from God, everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know him if you don't love. Then I'm going to skip down, and I advise you, you can read the whole chapter, but I'm going to skip down to verse 20 to 21. He says, if anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he is a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. Now, I said I was going to go read the King James and read the New, but this one, I mean, this is clear, right? That's why I love the message. It is very clear. God is love, and anybody who does not love, cannot know God and does not know God, right? That's clear. So all of these so-called Christians, you know, there's a new batch of Christians that have come up, or some people that have hijacked Christianity. They've hijacked it, right? And I'll call their names. They're called Christian nationalists.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's another name, but they've changed it because they don't want to go by that name. So now they're just Christian nationalists. But these are people who profess to love God. But I'm going to tell you right now, they are false prophets. False prophets. Because according to this scripture right here, you cannot profess to love God and at the same time you want to cut free lunches from children who are hungry in school. How does that work? You cannot profess to love God and then you are preaching hatred and violence from your pulpit. Now, I'm not preaching hate against them. I'm just telling you what is being presented. Right? So you can't profess then to say that you love God and you are preventing people who are trying to simply seek a better way of life from being. Because it says that we should welcome the stranger, welcome the person into our midst. And so when the strangers from foreign lands come, we say, no, 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 you are not welcome. Well, at least some of you are not welcome. Those of you from certain countries are not welcome. From certain continents are not welcome. If you come from other continents, it's okay, you get a pass. So you can't say that you profess to love God and see his children as less than human. You call them animals so that you can make the assumption that if I can get everybody to think that these people are less than human, then we can treat them any way we choose because they are not human. So we can then say, we love God, but these are not human beings who have human rights, who are seeking human needs to be made manifest. You can't profess to love God if you believe that your race is somehow superior to every other race on the planet. it doesn't mean you cannot profess to love God, because we all, every single race on the planet comes from God. We are all children, expressions of God. And there's no one race or group or people that is better than any other, that some have better means. But that doesn't make you a better human being and a more worthy person. God doesn't say, I'm only going to accept the rich and those who have it all. There's nothing in the scriptures that says that only the rich shall be honored. Matter of fact, Jesus says to Christ, when he warned against those who did all of their giving to be seen, to be named better than. He's like, that little widow who gave her 2 mites, ooh, she's more worthy of the kingdom of heaven than the person who's professing to be above it all. You can't say that you love God and do all of these things. It does not work. Do you know that there are actually a group of people, and some within this nationalist group, who believe that the teachings of Jesus as the Christ are too woke? Really? They believe that they're too woke, they're too weak, they're too progressive. Forget all this love and forgiveness stuff. It's weakness. Don't turn the other cheek. That's a sign of weakness. And they have been polled to say that if Jesus and his teachings were here and prevalent today, that they would probably try to string him up. Because what he's talking about, it reminds me of Judas, who really did not really understand the purpose and the mission of Jesus. And he saw what Jesus could do, all the miracles and everything. And he wanted Jesus to be a warrior king. He wanted him to go, quite frankly, and kick the Romans' butt. He wanted to cast them down, right? And Jesus said, that's not why I'm here. I'm not here to go to war. I'm not here to be a warrior king. I'm here for a different purpose, to teach compassion and humanity, to show the love of God for all of his children. I'm here for a different reason than that. And so Judas missed the point. And these so-called other Christian nationalists, well, they used to be called something else, but that's okay. They're missing the point. They have hijacked the message of what Jesus came to teach, what he came to demonstrate, the power of compassion, the power of understanding, the power of belonging, you know? Because he says every single one of you has flaws. You've all sinned. And if you don't think you've sinned, then you cast that first stone. If you're so pure, let me see you cast the first stone. And what are those people standing around who wanted to condemn the woman who had sinned? They had to turn around and walk away because they too had shortcomings. So this is a powerful message that we have an opportunity to express and to show. And that's why I love Unity and New Thought, because we're looking at the soul of a person. I don't care what you look like in the outer. I don't care but are you moving toward goodness? Are you trying to help somebody? Are you trying to bring out the best in you? Are you willing to share and to give of your time, talent, and treasures? Are you expanding the whole of you so that the best of you comes out? Are you willing to tap into who you were created to be as the Christ of God? Are you willing to show that? To stand up for that. It's not just about even Jesus only himself. You remember when there was the fad, when the question that people were asking is, what would Jesus do? It was WWJD. What would Jesus do? Which is a great, a wonderful question to ask. It's a good question for Christians to ask. But the world is not Christian. Everybody is not necessarily a Christian and may not be inspired by that question. And I think the better and more powerful question that we should ask ourselves is, what would love have me do? What would love have me do? Because love is universal. It belongs to everyone and no one in particular. Every one of the great religions on the earth and the planet have some quality of love, speak about love, speak about the divine as love. So it can be, because it's universal, it can be related to by many, many people. We don't have to then say only this one narrow, but what would love have me do? Now that is a powerful, powerful question for you to ask yourself. Because when you ask what would love have me do, you're really asking what would God have me do? Because love, what God is? Love. Love is of God, right? We are created in love. We have the expression of love. So what would God have me do is a powerful question, because when you ask that question, you are activating the divine energy into that situation or that scenario. If you said, what would love have me do right now about this? What would love have me do in this particular situation? That mere question activates this force, this divine energy that is of God, that is God. It is God. Now, when you ask this question, what would love have me do? I want you to be prepared that you're going to receive the highest and the best answer. That best answer is going to present itself to you. It's going to be an answer that will be for the highest good of all concerned. And we should know this. If you have the courage and strength to ask that question, you may not like the answer. You may not want to hear the answer, because you may want to, it's going to cause you to do a certain some things. When you ask, what will love have me do, it may have you say, you've got to let go of your lower vibrations right now. It may say, you've got to let go of your need to be right. You've got to let go of your egoic sense of what you think is the thing to do. You might have to let go of your desire for retribution and payback. You see, because those are all lower vibrations. Put them, you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. That's the law, Mosaic law, the law of the Old Testament. I get to do to you what you did to me. But that's not the law of the New Testament. Jesus brought a whole new Testament. New laws that they didn't like back then and half the people don't like right now. No, you got to turn the other cheek. I ain't turning no other cheek. You got to forgive them. They ask for your coat. Hey, give them your coat and your shoes too. No. I can't do that. See, so when we ask these questions, we're going to have to be prepared, because this is high level stuff. This is masterful stuff. And so you're going to have to be prepared for the answers. But I tell you this, if you can muster up the courage, right, to follow love's answer, then you are going to gain a great and an immortal possession. You're going to gain this power to heal, the power to transform, the power to elevate, right? The power to manifest goodness or godness, if you can answer love's answer. You can do what love is asking of you to do. And it's a high teaching, but I tell you, you'll be at a place where you'll be able to do the things that Jesus, as the Christ, said, great things. You'll be able to do the greater things than these shall you do things. Right? Everybody wants to do the greater than these. I want that power. I want to be able to do, you know, Jesus said, oh, if you, you know, follow me, you do these things, greater things than I do, shall you do. We all want to be able to do the greater things. We want to have the greater things. But it takes greatness from you to have the courage to follow love's answer. What would love have me do right now? It might say, you got to let it go. You got to forgive them. You have to forgive yourself. You have to work toward a greater purpose, a higher purpose. You've got to raise your own vibration. You have to see a bigger picture, a greater purpose. It's not just about you. You've got to expand. And so these are powerful things because love is a powerful energy, a force. Yes, it's an emotion. It's all these other things. It's so many things. It's so complex. But I want us to get the spiritual importance of love as a spiritual energy, a spiritual force, a spiritual expression, as God itself. Love lifts you up. Remember, that's another song. Love lifts me up, right? You all know that song. Love lifts you up. It's an elevating. It's a transforming. The moment love is expressed, whatever it is expressed about does not remain the same. Transformation happens. It carries a vibration of it, of lifting, of healing, of transforming. It's a powerful force. It is of God. It is God in action. So love then showcases what God is and can do and be about in us. It's the greatest force there is in the universe because it is of God. So if you want to up your game, which we are all being asked to do right now, we're going to have to up our game. But if you want to up your game, then you've got to become a master of love. Because that's what's going to heal the world. And I'm not talking about sentimental, wishy-washy kind of love. I love you. You love me. We're just one big happy family. That is true, but I'm just a different kind of love. It's a powerful love. It's the love of God. And that is what, you know, the song, What the World Needs Now, we need some love. Yeah. And we need people willing to step outside of their own individual little sphere and open up. And become an instrument of God, to become an expression of God. We are God's hands, we are God's eyes, we are God's body. And we have been placed at this time on this planet to do God's work and to bring that light, to bring that energy into the world, regardless of what is happening. So this is a powerful call for each of us. But it is what we have signed up for. It's why we're here. So I wanted to do a little meditation exercise, a process. You know, when I used to go to India a lot, they always took us through processes so that, you know, we would take notes and learn the lesson, but then we did a process. And the process would help you to get the lesson. Because the process was real, right? Remember that, Angela? Right? We always had this process and that process. But the process is good. So you want to do a little process right now? So what I'm going to ask then, let's give Miss Shirley some love, too. Let's give Miss Shirley some love. Oh, take your time. And just something soft. And so I'm just going to ask you all, let's just settle in for a moment. If you've got something on your lap, maybe take it, put it aside. And please, if you can, just close your eyes for a few minutes. And just breathe. Begin to breathe in an easy fashion. An even fashion. Take the breath in and feel it and gently release it. Drop your shoulders if you notice any tension anywhere in your body. Just let it go. You are safe and secure. I am safe and secure. I am in the presence of pure love. And God is taking care of everything. So let go and continue to breathe. And when you find that place of peace within you, I want you to place your attention upon your heart. And begin to breathe from there for a moment. Breathe into your heart
and breathe through and out of the heart. Breathe into the heart and breathe out of the heart, letting go and relaxing as you do so. And now I want you to bring to mind something that brings you great happiness. Breathing in and out of the heart, something that brings you joy, or something you're very grateful for, gratitude. Just feel that feeling of gratitude, of love, appreciation, thankfulness. If you need to have an image, maybe it's the image of an innocent child. You hear laughing, child's laughter that brings a smile. Or a beautiful, beautiful sunset that expands your heart. Whatever it is that brings you joy and happiness, think about that for a moment. Feel that in your body. Feel love, feel joy, feel happiness, gratitude, thanksgiving. Now, with your attention upon your heart, just think for a moment, let it come easily, but if there's a situation you find challenging, a decision you must make, something that is posing as a challenge, just hold that thought, that situation, that circumstance. And now ask, but what would love have me do now? In regards to that situation, that circumstance, what would love have me do? With that divine answer, have the courage now to answer love's call. I have the courage now to answer love's call. Just take a deep breath. And so it is. Amen and amen. And hopefully you received an answer. You can do this process at any time. The object is to anchor into your heart, to feel what the heart does, which is love. Feel, create that vibration of love, of joy, of gratitude, deep gratitude. And once you have activated the vibrations of the heart as love, ask about your challenging situation or the question or where you need that breakthrough or where you want to hear the higher calling. And from that vibration of love that you've opened up to and activated, you ask that question and you let it be. And the answer will come. And trust me, it's not going to be a long, lengthy answer. It's probably going to be short. Love more. Let go. Forgive. Reach out. Accept. Offer understanding. Breathe. Whatever it is, it's going to give you something you can work with and be with. And then answer that call. Do that thing. Because that is the thing that is going to heal you, your situation, and heal the world. So this is our moment, friends, to be bold and to practice asking the question and then to be courageous in following the answer. I know we can do it. This is why we're here. So what would love have me do right now is to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Unity of Washington, D.C. And thank you to all those in my world who come across my path to bless me and to allow me to be a blessing to them. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And so it is. Namaste.
And let's have some special music.